Let's do this. Woo! Ring the bell. This is Between the Ropes.
Oh, you're going for the dirt, for the behind-the-scenes stuff.
It's time to get Between the Ropes. Between the Ropes.
Yes, this is the Between the Ropes podcast. I'm Brian Fritz. Thanks for listening in. Thanks for subscribing to the podcast. Appreciate that. Another busy week when it comes to wrestling. WWE is coming off the Payback pay-per-view, and I'm not going to talk about that here. That's only because I'm going to be doing another podcast tomorrow with Eric Gargiulo from the Camel Clutch blog. We'll talk about Payback. We'll talk about WWE. We'll talk about all that that's going on there. But Ring of Honor has a pay-per-view of their own coming up on Sunday. It is the Global Wars pay-per-view. And I'm going to be joined by Chris Sabin here in a moment to talk about that show. It's a really busy week for Ring of Honor because they've got the Global Wars pay-per-view coming up on Sunday, and then they do the War of the Worlds tour. On Monday, they'll be in Detroit, Wednesday in Toronto, Saturday in New York City. So busy time for Ring of Honor. And with Global Wars, they've got another stacked lineup for the show, and they've got a lot of the guys from New Japan over there. They're doing Jay Lethal against Colt Cabana for the ROH World Championship. Briscoes against War Machine for the tag team titles. For the ROH World TV Championship, Bobby Fish against Tomohiro Ishii. Michael Elgin and Tanahashi are taking on Okada and Moose. You've got Naito taking on Kyle O'Reilly. So that should be fantastic. I mean, it's a loaded lineup. You even have The Addiction taking on Jushin Liger and Cheeseburger. And also, how about this for a nice little eight-man tag team match. You've got the Motor City Machine Guns, so Chris Sabin and Alex Shelley, Matt Sydal and Kushida taking on the Young Bucks, along with the Gorillas of Destiny, which is Tama Tonga and Tangaroa. So that's a hell of a lineup right there. You look at everything right there, and this and Global Wars looks to be a fantastic show. Chris Sabin, a great performer, great wrestler, and an even better guy. He has been wrestling now for 15 years. Of course, really started to make a name for himself with TNA and has wrestled for Ring of Honor before. He's wrestled all around the world now. Chris Sabin is a fantastic dude and still going strong at the age of 34. Always enjoy watching him as a performer, seeing him get in the ring. And you won't find a more humble guy than Chris Sabin. So here is my conversation with Chris Sabin. Coming up on Sunday night, it is Ring of Honor Global Wars live on pay-per-view. Chris Sabin, a big part of that show, and he joins me for a few minutes. So how is life treating you, Chris?
Life is treating me pretty well lately, I got to say.
So let's get the important stuff out of the way. What games are you playing right now?
Well, I've been sticking to mostly PC lately. I've been having some problems with my Xbox One, so playing Heroes of the Storm a lot. If you know the game by Blizzard, they make World of Warcraft, all the Warcraft games, and Diablo and all that stuff. So, yeah, it's an online multiplayer game. I'm playing that a lot lately, and hopefully my Xbox, I can get, you know, things working better for it again. And, I was thinking about buying a PlayStation 4, actually, and just switching over. So,
Well, that sounds like a national crime for a gamer like you to not have one of those systems working properly right now.
Yeah, you know, it is. I don't know. It's not. It doesn't, like, keep me from playing, but it gets frustrating. I'm like, I'm gonna go do something else, you know. So
I'm going to start a GoFundMe for you so we can get you a new system.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, you know, the big news from earlier this year when it comes to you and for Ring of Honor was not only you coming back, actually, last year to ROH, but teaming back with your old buddy Alex Shelley to form the Motor City Machine Guns. What's it like working with Alex again?
Yeah, it's been really cool. Things just seem to work out really well. And, you know, we ended up in the same place at the same time, both in Ring of Honor, and neither of us had contracts. And, you know, we've mentioned on and off, you know, throughout the years about teaming again and whatnot. But it just seemed like, yeah, everything was aligned to happen organically. It was perfect timing. So, yeah, it feels really good. You know, I've always enjoyed tag team wrestling, and I feel like throughout my career, the best work that I've been able to give the fans have been with Alex as the Motor City Machine Gun. So, you know, I'm just hoping to, bring back that magic for the fans again.
Yeah, because it's been so long since you guys were together. I mean, it has, but it hasn't. Has it felt like it's been a long time?
The last time we teamed was in 2011, so.
Yeah, 5 years. That's a good amount of time. But did you feel like the chemistry was there instantly once you guys got back in the ring together?
Yeah, it was. I wouldn't say it was as good as it could be. And I think that each time we team, we were just progressively getting better and better and more on the same page and everything. But it was, it was definitely there. Like, we knew it was there. And, it's only going to get better from here. You know, the more experience you have and the more practice you have working as a team in the ring and everything, you know, it'll only improve.
Just think there's going to be people, 10, 20 years from now, they're going to say, I was there the night that the Motor City Machine Guns got back together.
that would be really nice, you know. I hope we left that much of an impression on people, you know. That would be really humbling and nice. So, but
sure, it's a legendary tag team at this point, right? I mean, you got to build it up.
I don't try to build it up too much in my mind. I just try to stay focused on, working as hard as I can and, like, doing the best that we can as a team to, like, give the fans what they expect of us.
See, you're too humble. It's up for us fans and media members. We'll build it up and we'll, you know, put all the juice behind it so that way you can stay your humble self.
Thank you.
So, I mean, you enjoy doing tag team wrestling. It's obviously been a big part of your career. What's it like now in Ring of Honor? Because you look at the amount of teams that they have there, and it really seems like this is quite the age for tag team wrestling, especially in that promotion.
Yeah, definitely. And you have to stay sharp. And that's the thing about Ring of Honor. The tag team division is so competitive that, you know, each team, you know, is going to want to outdo the other team. And that's just going to be like type of energy that keeps on getting passed back and forth. Everybody's going to be trying to outdo each other. And that's why competition is so good. And that's why it's Ring of Honor tag teams division is so good. Because, you know, the teams are such talented teams and well-rounded too, you know, and there's different styles. You got a variety. I mean, War Machine, the tag team champions, obviously, they're pretty much a completely different team from, say, Red Dragon. And then the Briscoes are completely different from everyone. So it's like, the Motor City Machine Guns, I think we do our own thing as well. So it's so competitive, and it's just, I think that creates just, you know, really good interest. Like, anyone could be anyone at any time.
Why, I had mentioned before you came back to Ring of Honor last year. Why was Ring of Honor the right place for you to be at this point in your career?
Well, basically, I got a call from Kazarian and Daniels. They were looking, for someone to fill this role with them in the KRD, and I was one of the guys that they asked, and it just worked out that I was available to do it. And they said, okay, well, let's do it. And I was like, yeah, definitely. I mean, I've wanted to work for Ring of Honor. I wasn't really doing anything at the time as well. I was mostly just doing independents, going over to Europe a lot and playing a lot over there. I wasn't doing anything very, like, mainstream in the United States. I was ready to do something more here, and that was basically how I was able to make my return. It was just, I had a story, you know, ready for me.
And Daniels and Kazarian, they need somebody they can trust. They need another buddy that they can joke around with, because otherwise they're going to be bored. We know how that is with those guys.
Oh, yeah, exactly. I mean, I've known both those guys for, over 10 years. So, we've been down the road together many, many times. And, I'm sure that those guys would be like my lifelong friends.
So what's the scene like over in Europe right now? You just said, you had been over there and you've been, doing a bunch of different indies. So what was that experience like?
It was great. I haven't been over there in a while, actually, because the last time I was there was about a year ago, I would say, which was when I ended up hurting my neck. But I got to go, man, I 4 or 5 tours I did over there, like in 2000, like end of 2013 and the 2014. And it was great. I mean, I was extremely impressed with the wrestling scene, especially in England. I was just going out there watching these guys work, and they were blowing me away. I couldn't believe how good everyone was. And so, yeah, I mean, I had a good experience. You know, I got to form a tag team with Will Ospreay. And as soon as I saw this guy wrestle on my tag with him, then I ended up being able to wrestle against him in a singles match as well. It's like, man, this guy's something special. You could tell. I could tell right away. And obviously you can see now he's, you know, doing good stuff in New Japan and all that. So, yeah, it was cool, man. I don't know. I enjoyed going to Europe, and hopefully I get to go back again. Be nice to just, like, stay over there for a couple months and, you know, just wrestle all around there. It's fun. Good workers, good time. So,
yeah, it's funny you talk about Ospreay, because I almost feel like, you know, we're behind the curve now, like wondering, okay, this guy is so good. And he's so young still, you know, obviously this is his time a little bit where he's coming up, but I almost feel like we missed something, like, you know, where was this guy? Because he hit the scene, you know, so quickly now over the past, you know, 6 months to a year. What was it like seeing that, you know, from your perspective?
Well, yeah, I think it was just basically, he just needed a chance. You know, he was, from what I know, he had only been wrestling. I think when I wrestled with him last year, I think he was 2 years in. So I think it was just that he had only been wrestling for 2 years, and he hasn't had like just that right exposure, just that right like chance to be seen by the right people and be like, whoa, this guy has something. And then, you know, and as soon as somebody did and someone realized, and then all of a sudden everybody jumped on the bandwagon, you know, and rightfully so. The man's super talented.
You know, when it comes to your neck injury, what exactly had happened, and how serious of an injury was that?
Well, I think it was just something that happened from wear and tear over the years. A disc in my neck was bulging out, and it was pinching a nerve. So I was having symptoms down the left side of my arm, pins and needles and numbness in my finger. My finger actually went completely numb for about, you know, a month and a half. So, you know, I went to the doctor. They said that, you know, it wasn't serious enough that it needed surgery. It wasn't a herniated disc. It was just bulging out, touching the nerve. So they said sometimes it's basically symptom-based. Sometimes it heals quickly and it never comes back. And then sometimes people feel it for, you know, the next 10 years of their life. So it was basically an unknown. I just wanted to take as much time as I needed off. I didn't want to wrestle at all because I didn't want to aggravate my neck, because obviously it's my neck. That's something that you're going to want, you know, and I'm only 34 right now. I hope to be healthy, you know, well beyond 34, you know, many years down the road. So taking care of myself now is something that I really need to do, especially all the abuse that I put on my body. And so, you know, it went away after a while. You know, I did physical therapy. I, you know, had medication with the doctor for a couple months. And then, you know, I took about 9 months off or so. So, I made sure I took plenty of time off, and I haven't had any problems with it since. So
how do you compare an injury like that? Well, luckily you didn't have to have surgery, but also obviously, you know, with you now wrestling for 15 years, you've had some knee injuries in the past as well. So how do you compare the two? And was either one of them more worrisome than the other?
I would say probably the experience was a lot more difficult and overall worse, I would say, for both of my knees. But as far as like a worrisome, stressful feeling goes, like I would say it's probably my neck was a little more worrisome, because at least when I injured my knees, I was under contract with TNA. So I was taken care of. I had a little cushion. I was still getting a little bit of money from TNA, you know, and I to take care of my bills and just to live. When I hurt my neck, I didn't have a contract with any company. I was just working completely independently. So I was basically living off my savings for about 9 months, you know, and ended up selling my house and all that. So it was more worrisome for the neck, I would say.
And that's one of the things that people don't talk about a lot of times when it comes to wrestling, is, you know, when it comes to the injuries and guys having to take care of yourself, you know, that's one of the things that, you know, when you talk about trying to get in with a company, maybe, you know, there's obviously a lot of freedom, you know, everybody wants to have with their job. You want to be in the right place, but you have to weigh all these different factors as well. And having that comfort of being under contract with somebody really has to probably play a factor in that to some extent, doesn't it?
Yeah, big time, big time. I mean, everyone wants a contract because you never know when you're going to get injured, or you never know what could happen. So, you know, if you're working independently without a contract, getting injured is a kiss of death. You know, hopefully you have some savings or some other means, you know, an out-of-bed job you can get or school, whatever, you know, something outside of wrestling.
Is it tough for you to get insurance being, you know, doing the work that you do?
No, it's not tough. I think, well, especially nowadays with, you know, how Obamacare has been implemented, and it's more expensive for me, I guess, because I'm an independent contractor. So basically I'm just, you know, paying for myself. You know, I don't get, you know, insurance through work or anything like that. But yeah, so it's a little more expensive just because of that. But it's not tough to get now.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I was wondering, too, because, I mean, it can get pricey. I mean, even for just an average Joe that's on the street, I mean, insurance these days is pricey. And then you look at somebody, you know, like yourself, and they find out, what do you do for a profession? And when they find out, oh, this guy's a pro wrestler, he's using his body all the time, then maybe it's like, oh, well, there's more of a chance that this guy's going to have to go see a doctor, or he's going to need this or that. So, you know, let's jack up the rates.
Yeah, exactly. Like, luckily, I don't think that will have that much of an effect now with, like, how the new laws are. Like, you can't, you know, pre-existing conditions don't matter and all that. So it's
yeah. You didn't expect to be talking. I was going to say, you didn't expect to be talking politics here on the podcast, did you?
Yeah.
I didn't either. Honestly, I didn't. Yeah. So right. Let's get back to wrestling because, I mean, you know, when you really made a name for yourself, when a lot of people started seeing you, was with TNA, you know, and especially during the heydays, the early times of coming to the Impact Zone in Orlando. What was it like, you know, being a part of those times of TNA? And did you really feel like it was something different and something special?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, when I was there, I mean, it really was like a dream come true. And it was almost surreal because I was so young when all this stuff was happening. Like I signed my first contract when I was 21, you know, I was just under 3 years in the business. Like it was, I had such a good time. Like, you know, I mean, I was like doing what I love to do. I was getting paid to do it. I didn't have to have any other job. I was traveling, you know, getting paid to travel. It was great. And like TNA, like, and in those times, every year was like we were building every year. You know, we started on pay-per-view on Wednesdays. Then we added the Fox Sportsnet episode. And we were doing like Wednesday pay-per-views and Fox Sportsnet, you know, and then Spike TV happened. So it was like, it was really fun to like, I don't know, it was just like, it was a roller coaster ride, man. It was just a fun ride, all, you know, uphill in those years. It was just uphill, you know.
Well, it's weird to hear you tell it from a standpoint of, you just got into the business. You'd only been there for a few years. You're really young. You're seeing all these different things. You're like, cool, I'll go along for the ride. I'm under contract. This is going to grow. Let's see where it goes. And meanwhile, there's probably other people, especially the company, are like, man, this isn't working out the way that we had hoped to right now. And we got to fight to stay alive. And it's, you know, a day-to-day battle and everything. So I guess it just depends on who you are when it comes to the perspective of something going on. And at that time for you, it was just like, hey, let's see where this goes. You know, this is great so far.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, it would be worrisome when you would hear, because there was always those rumors swirling around that, like, oh, no, like, the company's running out of money or it's going to go out of business or whatever, blah, blah, blah. And each time, like, a rumor like that came around, it never happened. So I eventually, you know, just became numb to it. Like, whatever, you know, that's nothing I can control anyway. I'm just going to, you know, do the best I can and enjoy myself and, you know, have fun.
Do you really feel like you made or... What's your perspective on this when it comes to your impact for X Division style wrestling? Because that was a staple of TNA. We still see plenty of that going on, you know, not only in that company, but, you know, elsewhere around the world, various promotions. So where do you think your place is in that when it comes to really helping put that style on the map here in the U.S.?
Well, I don't know. It's really hard to say. I'd like to think that I've contributed somewhat to it. Because, like, the X Division was really the first, like, we were, like, the first guys to really kind of mix every style of wrestling possible and have it be presented on, like, cable TV in America. You know what I mean? Other than, you could say somewhat the WCW Cruiserweights would, but, like, the WCW Cruiserweights were more of, like, a variety. Like, you had the Luchadors doing the Lucha style, and then you had, like, you know, Dean Malenko doing the technical style. And, like, they would intertwine, but, like, more so the X division. Like, you were having guys that didn't, you know, guys were technical wrestlers that could do high flying stuff, that could do lucha libre, that could do Japanese style. Like, and I think a lot of it had to do with the internet and just basically media just being able to be shared so much easily. Yeah, so much easier nowadays. You know, we can watch Japanese wrestling and Mexican wrestling so much easier thanks to the internet. So I think that our generation of, because we were all like similar age, you know, so like our generation kind of grew up alongside the evolution of the internet, and I think that influenced us as well. So I think we were just like the first kind of people to really mix all those styles of wrestling. And if you look around, the reason why I think we really influenced it too is because what we were doing to be completely different as the X division, like 10, 11, 12 years ago, like that's the normal thing nowadays. If you go around the indies, that's like the status quo is that side. Everyone, you know, tries to like mix every style of wrestling and they try to do X division style and all that. So, I mean, it seems like just looking at it from the outside that, yeah, we did have a pretty big influence.
I like how you say our generation. It almost makes you feel like that was a long time ago. And it was, but it wasn't. I mean, it was a decade ago, but I don't know. It just doesn't feel like it was that long ago.
Yeah, it really doesn't feel like it. But then you think about it, man, like 10 years, like, you know, 10 years is a really long time, you know?
And now you're a grizzled vet.
Yeah, I guess so. I'll just be a vet. I won't be grizzled.
Yes, please not. I mean, do you feel that role now when you work at different places, including like Ring of Honor, like when you go into the back, like, hey, I'm a guy that's now been around for, you know, 15 years and I'm the guy that, you know, not only wants to do the best that I can, but, you know, I want to speak with others and, you know, help other guys wherever I can.
Yeah, definitely. And it's strange, you know, sometimes guys will come up to me and be like, oh, I used to watch you growing up, you know, I'm like, what? Growing up, like, what are you even talking about? But, you know, if someone new in the business, you know, is like 18, 19 years old, you know, they could have been watching me when they were 9, 10, 11 years old. So that's the strangest thing to me, really.
Chris, you're not even old, and you got people saying that. I mean, come on, man. That's disheartening right there.
It's strange.
I watched you growing up. Come on, man. That's not cool to say.
Yeah, well, you know, it feels good, but it makes you feel old at the same time, you know.
But you're not old.
Yeah.
Not by any stretch of the imagination. You know, I know you're not old, but you had said, you know, you had to take the 9 months off with the neck injury and everything. Have you already started planning for your post-wrestling career? Is that something you're thinking about?
Yeah, definitely. I have, what I'm thinking I want to do, and I'm not sure, like, I have some money set aside to pay for school as well. Like, I'm definitely going to go to school somewhat, you know, and it also kind of depends on what happens with my wrestling career as well. But if like something were to happen tomorrow and I couldn't wrestle again, you know, I have money set aside purely to pay for school. And I was considered becoming a physical therapist assistant. And that's just because I had to go through physical therapy myself, you know, for both my knees, for my neck, and so I have a lot of, you know, I've had to go through it myself a bunch of times. And, like, you know, I've had to experience all these injuries, you know. It'd be cool to kind of, like, give back to people who have injuries as well, you know, since I had to go through it myself, you know.
You're so responsible, Chris.
I don't know about that, but thank you.
You're all grown up. You got money set aside. You're planning for the future. You're going to go to college and everything. It's like, wow.
Hey, just in case, you never know. I might win the lottery then. You know, screw all that.
Exactly, right? Come on, Powerball, man. What's it at right now? Like 360 million or something?
It's up there, yeah. Hey, you know, someone's got to win.
Exactly. That's what I tell my wife. I'm like, $2 ain't going to kill me, and somebody's got to win. Come on, you know?
Yeah.
Got to put a couple bucks to it. Got to live the dream. Got to have something to hope for, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, golly, man. So, you know.
Even if you don't win, you're buying hope.
Exactly. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. It's not like some people that are like spending hundreds of dollars on it. I'm like, I know you got a better chance, but you know what? I'll go with the hope, but on a limited monetary investment. That's the way I look at it. you grew up always loving wrestling. You've always had this dream of going to WWE, and you know, you're still only 34. You've got plenty of years ahead of you, as you know, as long as you stay healthy, and hopefully you do. Is that still something that you're looking for, is hopefully signing on with them?
Yeah, I'm definitely open to it. Like, that's like WWF is what I watched when I was a kid. It was the first wrestling that I was exposed to, and it's what made me love wrestling. And so, yeah, of course, I'm completely open to it, definitely.
Do you think it's something that's more realistic now, just from the standpoint of what they've done over the last year when it comes to bringing in some other guys that we thought maybe they would never even sign, whether it was to go to WWE or even with the NXT roster?
Yeah, I'd like to think so. But, you know, throughout my years, I've never heard from them. I've never heard from them. I've never had a tryout. And I'm like the only one of my peers like that. It's very strange. So I'm not going to be holding my breath or anything.
Do we need to put in the call for you? I mean, I shouldn't have to. I mean, they know who you are, but I mean, should...
Yeah, you'd think they would. Yeah. But, you know, I don't know. I've put it out there, you know, several times before and, you know, never heard a response. So I'm, you know, I'm not going to hold my breath or anything, but still that goal and that dream is like never going to leave, because as long as that's there, you know, there's something to reach for, you know, and it'll keep me going.
Oh, absolutely. I think we need to start a campaign. Maybe not you. You'll be separated from it, but I'll start some kind of campaign where fans are holding up signs for you at NXT shows, you know, especially the TV tapings. I mean, I'm right here in Orlando. Full Sail is very close to me. So, you know, the next set of TV tapings, you know, maybe we can get some signs in there.
Oh, well, you're too kind. You're too kind.
If they can sign Austin Aries, God bless Austin, man. They could sign you too. Come on.
Well, thank you for thinking that. I appreciate that.
I mean, quite honestly, NXT is, and some people make fun of this, and some people are saying that's not the real reason for NXT, and it is, but it isn't. But they're looking at it from a standpoint of the veteran talent that's there, because, you know, it's still a TV show and they're still touring, but it's like a who's who to some extent of TNA, because Eric Young is now there, and Samoa Joe is there, and Austin Aries is there, and, you know, Bobby Roode is talking with them, and it looks like he might be going in. Is it strange for you to kind of see that?
Yeah, you know, it is. It's cool because, like, I worked with those guys for years, and I like them all, and I'm happy to see that they're getting all work. And, but yeah, it is. It is. It's crazy to see, but it, on a different level, though, it kind of makes sense. It's like TNA built up Orlando. You know, we were in Orlando. I can't remember 7-8 years or something like that. So, you know, we, like, TNA kind of built up that Orlando wrestling fan base before WWE came in and kind of, like, swooped it out from them, so.
Yeah, isn't that the truth? So, it's funny because, you know, I've talked to you before, and so many people speak so glowingly of you, not only as your talent, but of the talent you have, but as a person as well. This is kind of a weird question, but there's some people that believe in this idea that, you know, to be successful in wrestling, to really be ultra successful, and you've already had a lot of success, but to really take it to that next level, you almost have to be a jerk. Do you believe that?
You know, I'm not sure. Sometimes I do believe that, honestly. And, you know, sometimes I'll have, like, for example, I was having a conversation with a veteran on the way to a show last year, summer. I will mention his name, but it was a veteran, so my super respect. He's a legend and whatever, blah, blah, blah. And he was just talking to me about wrestling, kind of giving me advice and stuff. And he would look into my eyes and he'd say something. He's like, dude, why? Just get over it. Just get over it. And he'd look at me straight in my eyes. And he'd say, nah, man, I see humbleness in your eyes, man. I see humbleness. You can't be humble. You know, humble bubble doesn't get over. So it's kind of like, I'm almost torn, but at the same time, like, yeah, I see your point. Like, you know, being humble really doesn't get you over, because you got to have this larger-than-life, huge ego character kind of guy. But at the same time, it's like, at what point will that come across as forced? Because that's not the actual person that I am. You know what I mean? And that I just don't want to come across as completely fake. And then people realize that, you know, especially if you're going in front of a crowd of like 1 million, 2 million people, you know, there are going to be people like, if you're coming across as like forced, trying to be something that you're not, I think, you know, people can sense that. So it's, I don't really know. I'm kind of torn. I'm just doing the best I can.
I mean, it's tough because you got to be you. You got to be true to yourself. And if, you know, this is what your career is, like I said, you've had a lot of success already. It's just you want to continue to build on that success. I think to me, the best comparison of somebody that I can look at for you, and it's funny because you've worked with them and style-wise and everything very similar, is Jerry Lynn. Because I think you and Jerry have had very similar paths to your careers and the type of people that you are as well.
Yeah. And Jerry's one of my friends, and he was doing some stuff at Ring of Honor recently lately. It was so good to see him. And like, I have so much respect for him. I loved my feud, my little feud that I had for him in TNA, too. That was really fun.
Yeah, I told him he needs to be a jerk, but he just would never do it. I'm like, come on, man, be a jerk. Couple last things. So with Ring of Honor being on pay-per-view on Sunday with Global Wars, obviously you had been with Ring of Honor before. Now you're back there. Do you feel, what's the biggest difference you feel about the company these days and where it's at?
The feeling, the vibe overall is kind of different. It's just the way everything is structured now with, like, they have the, you know, the TV tapings and everything for their Sinclair stations and then the pay-per-views and house shows. It's like each show is a lot different. Like before, when I was just kind of coming in, I was never there really consistently. I just kind of came in sporadically here and there for matches and whatnot throughout the years. But it was always like almost every show was a pay-per-view, if that makes sense. You know, like there weren't like, they didn't have an actual like TV television show. And so, you know, everyone was kind of going out there. Like everyone had like 10, 15, 20 minute matches and like, you know, huge matches with whatever, it's fine. But like now, you know, we have a lot, it's TV format. So there's a lot more, you know, it's like, all right, you know, 6 minute matches, the matches are a little shorter, they're a bit more for TV, and then you know, there's TV angles. So, I mean, just it going from like, you know, kind of like a DVD product to a television product is the biggest difference I see.
As a performer there, do you get excited knowing that there's not only so much talent, obviously, with the company already, but bringing in the New Japan guys for the special events like the Global Wars?
Yeah. That's one of the really cool things about Ring of Honor, too, is that they have that working agreement with New Japan. And, you know, you get to see the New Japan guys because, I mean, it seems like a lot of fans nowadays, you know, if you're a fan of Ring of Honor, it seems like you're most likely also a fan of New Japan Wrestling nowadays. So, yeah, it's cool that, you know, they have working agreement. Guys can send back and forth. And, you know, the Japanese New Japan wrestlers get exposed to an American audience in a live format. So,
I know it still seems a little bit weird from a standpoint that it didn't feel like it was too long ago, where a lot of times you would hear about all this great talent from around the world, especially when it came to New Japan, but it wasn't that often that you got to see them. But now the way that the world is and the access that people have to everything, you can see these guys all the time. And then, but now having them actually here, you know, it is a different story to actually be up close and personal, but it's just kind of, to me, it feels kind of strange yet just to see, like, I mean, even growing up, I mean, you know this too, like, you would hear about guys and you read them in the magazines and everything, and you'd be like, oh, I really want to see this guy. And now it's just like, I can just flip on my computer and I can see a guy and I can actually know what he looks like and his style and see him, you know. It's a different story when you get to see him up close, but there's just so much more access to guys now.
Yeah, definitely. You know, people say, like, the internet killed the wrestling business, but you know, you can't ignore the positive things it's done for fans, you know, and it has done a lot of positive things as well.
Well, everybody can watch Global Wars pay-per-view this Sunday. Motor City Machine Guns, Matt Sydal, and Kushida are teaming up in an 8-man to take on the Young Bucks and the Guerrillas of Destiny. Then it's the War of the Worlds Tour. Hey, you're going back to Detroit. How about that on Monday? When was the last time you wrestled a show on Monday?
Oh, my goodness. Not sure I ever have.
Really?
Probably. Yeah, I mean, I might have an indie show somewhere, but off the top of my head. Oh, well, you know, I remember when TNA tried to compete against Monday Night Raw.
Oh,
that was it.
Yes, I do remember that. What an unwise choice, unfortunately.
Agreed.
So the War of the Worlds tour Monday, it will be in Detroit, Wednesday in Toronto, Saturday in New York City. Keep those frequent flyer miles. Chris, I always appreciate the time, man. You continue to do fantastic work. I'm glad that you're still involved in the wrestling business. Hope you're doing it for many years to come, and looking forward to seeing the show on Sunday.
Cool. Thank you, Brian. Appreciate it.
Thanks again to Chris for joining me on the podcast today. Once again, Sunday is Ring of Honor Global Wars on pay-per-view. loaded lineup, including the stars from New Japan Pro Wrestling. You definitely want to check that out if you're a wrestling fan. Guaranteed that's going to be a lot of fun on the show there. Also, a couple of other quick reminders. Follow me on Twitter, at Brian Fritz. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or on Stitcher. Rate and review the podcast. That helps with the rankings and everything. You can also find it on BetweenTheRopes.com and on SoundCloud as well. And I'll be back with another podcast. Should be up tomorrow night, that being Wednesday night, with Eric Garjul from Camel Clutch Blog, as we talk about WWE Payback and everything else going on with WWE right now. So thanks again for listening. Talk to you soon.
The talking is over.
Thanks for downloading Between the Ropes.
Now, you guys are awesome. Thank you.
For more, go to BetweenTheRopes.com and subscribe to Between the Ropes on iTunes.
Thank you.
Have a nice day.